Welcome all of you once again for this Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are really fortunate to have Her Grace Krishna Rupa Devidasi to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam 6.17.22-23. Before I hand over the call to Mataji, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji for the brief introduction on Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Bhagavati Vasudha Mataji. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories, all glories, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. This morning, we are so fortunate to have with us Her Grace Krishna Rupa Mataji. Mataji joined ISKCON in 1998 and was initiated by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj in 1999 at the ISKCON Pune Temple. Krishna Rupa Mataji is educated in software engineering and earned a MBA from Amity University, a BED from Mumbai University, and a Microsoft certified system engineer, Cisco certified network professional, and Java certified programmer. She has over 10 years experience in the IT industry and worked for companies like HP, Dell, and Wipro. Mataji gives motivational talks on stress management, art of positive thinking, time management, personality development, especially for children and schools and youth and corporates. Over the years, she has been invited to deliver several such seminars to students in various premier institutes, schools, and colleges in India. She guides many young girls and women in leading meaningful lives of peace and happiness. Krishna Rupa Mataji has conducted seminars on stress management, time management, art of positive thinking in companies like Dell, Wipro, Sony, Chanhel, and in New Delhi. She currently teaches Bhakti Shastri courses, IDC classes, Srimad Bhagavatam study circles, and short seminars online, and Sunday Kids School at her home. So we're so very blessed to have her with us today to take her association.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for that very wonderful brief introduction on Krishna Rupa Mataji. So, looks like Mataji is there. Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept all of our humble obeisances. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable time and association in this Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are really fortunate to have you on this call today. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Mataji. It's my pleasure that I'll be able to serve the Vaishnavas in some way or the other.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Yes, we just did with your introduction. You can take over the call from now on. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. So we'll just quickly start with Mangala Charan. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobeshtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desha Tarine Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha, Ripa Sindhupya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे गुरुवे गौर चंद्राय राधिकाय तदालय कृष्णाय कृष्ण भक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः। Dear devotees, welcome for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Thank you so much for giving your valuable time for hearing Harikatha. And this shows your sincerity that every morning you all assemble to hear the glories of the Supreme Lord via the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is an hat trick incarnation. Srimad Bhagavatam, in one of the classes, what I have heard is that Srimad Bhagavatam is an hat trick incarnation. Why? Because Srimad Bhagavatam itself is an incarnation of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam describes about the incarnations of Krishna, like Matsya Avatar, Kurma Avatar. And Srimad Bhagavatam is written and compiled by an incarnation of Krishna. So it is an hat trick incarnation. So thank you so much for joining in this class. So I was asked to speak on the 22nd shloka. Let me just share the screen with you all. Yeah. So 22nd and 23rd. So I'll read the 22nd shloka and the translation, and then we'll move, because 22nd does not have a purport. न तस्य कश्चित् दैत प्रतीपो न ज्ञाति बंधुर परोच परो न च स्व समस्य सर्व निरंजस्य सुखेन राग पुत एव रोषः। He says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally disposed towards all living entities. Therefore, no one is very dear to him, and no one is great enemy for him. No one is his friend and no one is his relative. Being unattached to the material world, he has no affection for so-called happiness or hatred, for so-called distress. The two terms, happiness and distress, are relative. Since the Lord is always for him, there is no question of distress. We'll go to the next. So, if somebody would like to repeat after me, you're free to repeat. Tathapi tachati visarga esham.
Tathapi tachati visarga esham.
Bandhaya cha mrityu janmo.
Bandhaya mokshaya cha mrityu janmo.
शरीराणां संसृत्य अवकल्पते
शरीराणां संसृत्यये अकल्पकल्पते
तथापि तत् शक्ति विसर्ग एषाम्
तथापि तत् शक्ति विसर्ग एषाम् सुखाय दुःखाय हिताहिताय
बन्धाय मोक्षाय च मृत्युजन्मो
बन्धाय मोक्षाय च मृत्युजन्मो
शरीराणां संसृत्य अवकल्पते
शरीराणां संसृत्य अवकल्पते
तथापि तत् शक्ति विसर्ग एषाम्
तथापि तत् शक्ति विसर्ग एषाम्
सुखाय
दुःखाय हिताहिताय
बन्धाय मोक्षाय च मृत्युजन्मः
बन्धाय मोक्षाय च मृत्युजन्मः
शरीराणां संसृत्य अवकल्पते
शरीराणां संसृत्य अवकल्पते
तथापि स्टिल तत् शक्ति ऑफ द लॉर्ड्स एनर्जी। इफ यू ऑल वांट टू रिपीट आफ्टर मी, अलॉट
तथापि स्टिल तत् शक्ति ऑफ द लॉर्ड्स एनर्जी
विसर्ग द क्रिएशन
विसर्ग द क्रिएशन
एशाम ऑफ दीज कंडीशन सोल्स
Yesham of this conditioned souls.
Sukhaya for the happiness.
Sukhaya for the happiness.
Dukhaya for the distress.
Dukhaya for the distress.
Hita ahitaya for the profit and loss.
Hita ahitaya for the profit and loss.
Bandhaya for the bondage.
Bandhaya for the bondage.
Mokshaya for the liberation.
Mokshaya for the liberation.
Cha also.
Cha also.
Mrityu of death.
Mrityu of death.
Janmano of and birth.
Janmano and birth.
Shariranam of all those who accept material bodies.
Shariranam of all those who accept material bodies.
Samsrite for the repetition.
Samsrite for the repetition.
Avakalpate acts.
Avakalpate acts.
So you all can repeat after me. Although the Supreme Lord is unattached.
Although the Supreme Lord is unattached.
For happiness and distress.
To our happiness and distress.
According to karma and although.
According to karma and although.
No one is his enemy or favorite.
No one is his enemy or favorite.
He creates pious and impious activities.
He creates pious and impious activities.
Through the agency.
Through the agency.
Of his material potency.
Of his material potency.
Thus for the continuation.
Thus for the continuation.
Of the materialistic way of life.
Of the materialistic way of life.
He creates happiness and distress.
He creates happiness and distress.
Good fortune and bad.
Good fortune and bad.
Bondage and liberation.
Bondage and liberation.
Birth and death.
Birth and death.
Thank you, dear devotees. Thank you for cooperating. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate doer of everything in his original transcendental existence, he is not responsible for the happiness and distress or bondage and liberation of the conditioned souls. These are due to the results of fruitive activities of the living entities within this material world. By the order of a judge, one person is released from jail and another is imprisoned. But the judge is not responsible for the distress and happiness of these different people, is due to their own activities. Although the government is ultimately the supreme authority, the justice is administered by the departments of the government, and the government is not responsible for the individual judgments. Therefore, the government is equal to all citizens. Similarly, the Lord is neutral to everyone. But for the maintenance of law and order, his supreme government has various departments which control the activities of the living entities. Another example given in this regard is that lilies open or close because of the sunshine, and thus the bumblebees enjoy or suffer. But the sunshine and the sun globe are not responsible for the happiness and distress of the bumblebees. So this is a very wonderful, purport. And I had been given to actually speak on this shloka. So previously also I have spoken on a couple of shlokas before also. So over here, if you see where Mother Parvati has cursed Chitraketu in the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th and the 15th shlokas. And then Chitraketu, very humbly speaks to Mother Parvati, and he descended from his plane, bowed down to Mother Parvati with great humility, and he pleased her completely. He said that I accept your curse because happiness and distress are given by the demigods as a result of my past misdeeds. And one who is deluded by ignorance, the living entity is wandering into this forest of material world. He enjoys happiness, he enjoys distress. And then he continues that no one is the cause of happiness, distress in this material world. We say that, okay, he or she is the cause of my distress, but no one. And the living entity thinks that others are the cause of my happiness or distress. So this material world, the analogy is given, it's like a consistent flow of river. And what is a curse and what is a boon? or what is heaven, what is hell. They are just dualities and have no eternal effect. And the Lord is not unaffected by this. And he's creating the living entities in knowledge that they get liberated. Whereas those who are not in knowledge or those who are in ignorance, then they will be binded in different conditions in this material world. And in the 22nd shloka, he's saying that though the Lord is equally disposed to all the living entities, he's beyond dualities of this material world. We'll just come to what is dualities of this material world very soon. And for the Lord, there is no happiness or distress because the Lord is aloof from this material world. And further in this 23rd shloka, he's saying that the Lord is neutral. And that is why Lord creates dualities, and dualities means happiness, distress, bondage and liberation for the continuation of materialistic way of life, so that this material world continues. Otherwise, if people wouldn't have this duality, then the material world wouldn't continue. So just for the continuation of this material world, the Supreme Lord creates this duality. So if you see in this shloka, the 22nd shloka, where the Lord favors some jivas and hates other jivas because he binds up some, liberates others, and he gives others happiness. So that is not so, because he does not have some favorites or enemies. He is equal to all. And because he regards all equally at times, and because he is not affected by the Maya Shakti, that is Niranjanasya, he has no attachment to the material happiness. Then what to speak of hatred for anything opposing this material happiness? So in the Bhagavad Gita also, he says that Indriyasya Indyarthe Raga Dvesha Vivasitho Tayora Visham Agachattau Hi Asya Paripanthitano. That this is Bhagavad Gita 3rd chapter 34. So he's saying that attachment and repulsion, these are very firmly fixed in the sense objects. And that is why a person should not come under this control of attachment and repulsion. Why? Because attachment and repulsion, these are the two greatest obstacles in the path of these are the two greatest paths in the way of going back home, back to Godhead. So when I actually speak about this, because these are the principles, to regulate attachment and, aversion, they are pertaining to sense objects. And if somebody is coming under this, then it is a big stumbling block to his self-realization or going back home, back to Godhead. So that is why Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also says that these are the two stumbling blocks, that is attachment and aversion also. And then he's saying that, he says that tathapi tat shakti visarga esham. This transformation of the Maya Shakti is only creating happiness in distress. Somebody might wonder that who is creating this happiness in distress? So you have the you have two types of Shaktis. You have the Maya Shakti and you have the Chit Shakti. So the Maya Shakti is creating the happiness, distress, good fortune, bad fortune, liberation, bondage. So this is the work of the Maya Shakti. But if the Lord, somebody might question that if the Lord is equal, well then why does he make one person happy and cause grief to another? Even though he is equal in all circumstances, but by the transformation of this Maya Shakti, the sequence of, this karmas actually begins from, piety and sin. It creates happiness in distress. So when you do good karmas, then you are happy. You do bad karmas, then you are in distress. So even though the Lord creates happiness in distress, and since the Maya Shakti belongs to the Supreme Lord, and in that sense, he shows inequality. He does not create happiness in distress, since Maya is not his Swarupa Shakti. The Swarupa Shakti is Yoga Maya, and thus the Lord is actually equal to all. So even the universe of Maya is the form of the Lord. because it does not arise from his swarupa. So it is different from him. So he's giving the example that the sun appears to be unequal because he gives, you know, sometimes sorrow to the owl because the owl sleeps at night, and when the sun rises, the owl has to get up. And the night lotus by its rays and gives happiness to the Chakrava bird or the Chataka bird. And the day lotus, so, you know, for no one says the sun is, you know, partial. The sun is actually equal to all. So that's how. So this word that is there, that is in, I would like to stress, because every time I bring a theme for those, the shlokas. So the theme for today's shloka is actually duality. So duality means you cannot understand one thing without understanding the other. Had there not been, you know, night, we wouldn't understand the day. So Srila Prabhupada says, this is actually the definition given by Srila Prabhupada, that duality means that you cannot understand one thing without understanding the other. Like light, if you have the conception of light without the conception of darkness. So this is called duality. So unless we have experienced bad, we cannot understand the good. Or unless there is a son, then there is no meaning for the father. So unless there is the wife, there is no meaning to the husband. This is actually duality. Srila Prabhupada says that. So this world is full of duality. So what Krishna is suggesting in the Bhagavad Gita is that we have to rise above this dual world and enter into the absolute world, where there will be only happiness. That's it. There will be no distress at all. So the beginning of transcendental life is actually Krishna will teach how to, you know, the principles of yoga. So duality means, if you say, then, you know, Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, he says that duality means God is different from me and he is the supreme. I am subordinate. He is great. I am small. He is infinite. And I am infinite immisal. And this is the relationship. So, because we are infinite immisal, we should concentrate our mind to the infinite supreme self. So then he should live alone. Alone means, alone means not to live with persons who are not Krishna conscious or God conscious. So that is alone. So he should live alone in a secluded place. Secluded place, in the forest, it is a very secluded place. But in this age, it is very difficult. Srila Prabhupada says that in this age, it is very difficult to live in the jungle. So we should find out a God-conscious place where we can live in the association of devotees, like how the Bhakti Sangha Japa group, we are currently, you know, in a God-conscious place, but we are with the devotees also, but we are like aloof, or we are secluded from the material world. So duality also means that whether I shall become Krishna conscious or this conscious, that is material consciousness, I will, should I become a devotee? Should I not become a devotee? Should I be God conscious? Should I be Krishna conscious? Or should I be, you know, in a material conscious? So that is duality also, whether this or whether that. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Ekehe Kuru Nandana, one who is firmly fixed, one who is firmly fixed, that is Krishna Bhakti, Kevala Krishna Bhakti. If I become Krishna conscious, then there will be perfection everywhere. And this conviction a person should have, and that is called, that is there, that time he'll be a non-dual person, or he'll be in a non-dual. So whether I shall do it or not do it, I must do it. That is where te dvanda moha, dvanda is there, and moha, and illusion is also there. So, and except Krishna consciousness, everything is moha or illusion. Except Krishna conscious, Srila Prabhupada says that it's everything is illusion. So, duality means that there is an intermixture of the modes of material nature also, where Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. One can become above this Nistraigunya. Tri means three. Traigunya, three gunas, you know. So, and he can rise above these three modes simply by unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So, duality, when I say that whether I shall stick to this process of Krishna consciousness or not, many times we are into dual. There are so many people, because of this duality, they have left Krishna consciousness. Why? Because they were completely into a confusion whether I should follow or not follow. They were not in the right association. There are many other factors. So to worship Krishna in a very steadfast manner means he's liberated from this delusion. And that is called liberation or mukti. So one has, one who has got some doubt that why shall I worship Krishna? This means that he's still in delusion and he does not have enough faith. His faith is not enoughly nourished. Even a slight doubt, there is a slight tinge, which means that he is in dvanda moha nirmukta, duality. And whether I should, you know, follow the process, I should not follow the process, that is duality. And somebody who is actually, you know, free from his sinful reactions, then he does not have duality. He has firm faith. Yes, Krishna, I will worship you. By no means I'll worship you. So, you know, you have this happiness, distress, pleasure, pain, summer, winter, night, day, etc. All these dualities exist in place. So, and these dualities are inseparable part of, you know, a person's life experiences. So, you know, the most deluding duality, Srila Prabhupada, in one of his purports, he says that is of birth and death. And the arena of the life exists between two ends, that is birth and death. And from the very moment somebody is born, for him, death is inevitable. And again comes as a subsequent birth. So our natural intellect believes that the world pleasures will give us happiness and fulfillment. Therefore, in the material consciousness, while we desire some favorable ones, there is the unpleasant experiences also. Though there is attraction and aversion, and there is an inherent duality also as there. So they develop due to our ignorance. So our intellect does not really realize that, okay, material pleasures are there, situations are there, increase of a material illusion is there. And it makes us believe that this pain is detrimental to us. And so many advertisements have, you know, potentials of, you know, dispelling this material illusion from our mind and elevate our soul. So our ignorance is the root cause to these delusions. A spiritually elevated person, he will accept these dualities as inseparable. Inseparable in sense, he is understanding it's the aspect of God's creation. And he rises above likes and dislikes, attraction, aversion. So Krishna says that you tolerate. In the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, 14th shloka, he says that Matra sparshastu kantena shitosana sukha dukhada agami payo nitya satam tatiksho bharata. He says that tolerance means, you know, to call off our war with reality. So tolerance, sometimes it will be equated with weakness and passivity, but it is actually the basis of for our strength and dynamism. So tolerance essentially means that when we are faced with unpleasant situations, we don't let our energy be wasted in denial and resentment. So that is actually tolerance. I'm sorry, I beg your pardon, sorry. So fighting for this reality of problem with, you know, this denial and resentment is always a little lost cause. So Bhagavad Gita is actually requesting or is urging to tolerate these dualities of pleasure, pain, and just as we tolerate even heat, cold, knowing that, okay, these are just very temporary. So if you see that Gita is actually making tolerating reality easier by introducing us to the two levels of reality, material and spiritual. So by its delineation of it gives us, you know, the access to a higher spiritual reality wherein we can face peace, power, pleasure, and by meditating on our spiritual identity and by connecting with the supreme, supreme reality, that is Krishna. So the more we place our consciousness in spiritual reality, the more we can face the material reality very tolerantly and effectively. The more we are in the association of devotees, the more we read the shastras, the more we chant, the more we do deity worship, the more we serve the Vaishnavas, we'll come out of this duality. We'll be able to face this material reality, and we will be able to tolerate also. And if you see in the very next shloka, he speaks about the fruit of this tolerance. He says that yam hi na vyatatanti ete purusham purusha sabha samadukha sukham dhiram so amritavya kalpate. So he says that the person who is not disturbed by happiness or distress, and he is steady in both happiness and distress or in any duality, then he is eligible for liberation. Such a person, he is actually giving the fruit of this tolerance, that such a person. So he's saying that yam hi na vyatatante ete. So one who is not bewildered by such things, nya na vyatayantate purusham, that Purusha is the best of Purushas. And so what about such a person? Samadukha sukham dhiram. Such a person is same in happiness and distress. So such a person is so amritavya kalpate. Such a person will attain eternal happiness. Amritavya kalpate. So the fruit of spiritual life is actually, you know, talked about, and the fruit of spiritual life will be centered on how we tolerate. It is just knowing what we have to put in first. Tolerance. So the opposite of tolerance is intolerance, right? So we should know what to put first when we are actually going on the road. We already, you know, decide, okay, which road to take, not based on, you know, some road just appears good or some appears best, but we actually choose that road, or we decide the road based on our destination or where that particular road will take us to. So similarly, we also don't decide our life priority based on, you know, just appearances or the first look or the hairstyle or, you know, anything. So Krishna is saying that all these appearances are not the way people look or appear. Ultimately, we are all our souls. And Krishna is talking something much more deeper. He's saying the way things will, you know, seem to us very in the first way, you know, may not be, you know, the best indicators of what we actually are. So Krishna is telling we should not be distracted by these temporary changes in this world. Happiness, distress, and we should just tolerate it and let it go away. And one who is not bewildered, that person, or most of the person, what happens to that person? So he will be equipoised in happiness and distress. And then such person will be fit for his eternal existence into the spiritual world. So, you know, of course, the fruit of liberation, you know, is triggered by tolerance over here. So one will achieve Amritavya Kalpate, liberation, one who is able to tolerate that momentary happiness and distress in life. So when we are not distracted by any petty things, we are able to more focus on the bigger things. So if you see, the easier way to transcend these dualities, of course, tolerance is one, but Krishna, again, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, the 7th shloka, he says that Jitatmana prasannatma paramatma samatita shitosana sukha dukkheshu tatha mana apamana nayoha. He says that, and the, you know, the subtlest duality is actually man apman, honor and dishonor. One one becomes elated in dishonor, or one becomes broken and broken hearted in dishonor. Such dualities are very difficult to overcome. And we should question ourselves that, do I give honor or do I strive others should give me honor? Or do I wish to serve others or want others to serve me? And do I only care for myself, or I selfishly want others to care for me? Or do I feel glad upon seeing others' advancement, or I feel envious of others' advancement? So, do I depend on Hari Guru Vaishnavas for decisions, or do I just make decisions on my own capriciously? Or sometimes we may just take an easy path, or, you know, a deviant path. So we should always take the shelter of the Hari Guru Vaishnavas, and we should overcome our internal struggles. So an opposite script, you know, has to be adopted, that others are much better than me. I am not better than others. And this is actually a Vaishnava attitude. So we call it actually devotee with heart. So what is the, you know, acronym of heart? H-E-A-R-T. H means humility. E means you encourage devotees. You appreciate devotees. A means, R means you respect devotees. T means you tolerate. So when you do this gradually, we will be able to transcend these dualities over a period of time. So one who has conquered his mind, and the one who is not having any duality, he's attained tranquility. So happiness, distress, for him, everything is the same. And that's what
Krishna... Can you please repeat, Mataji, can you please repeat H for heart?
Yeah, sure, Prabhu. H for humility.
Humility.
E for encouragement.
Yeah.
A for appreciate.
Okay.
R for respect.
Okay.
T for tolerant.
Superb. So nice, Mataji.
Thank you.
Superb. All hearts should be like this.
So I have taken this from His Grace Radhishyam Prabhu's classes, because I generally write down his classes. So I've made twice, you know, classes of his. So so then those who are, so for example, those who are not distracted, you know, will attain liberation. But those who are distracted and they have lost track, like for example, who lost track in the, you know, in the, you know, in the, in the past, Bharat Maharaj lost track because he did social service to that deer, or about to lose track. So Dhruv Maharaj was about to lose track, but, you know, immediately he got Narad Muni and he went on back. So we should also see that we should not be distracted by the so-called, you know, dualities in life. Or for example, somebody is going to the college for studying. Okay, his main aim is he's going in a medical college. He wants to become a doctor. But all of a sudden, he sees some boys or girls playing football and he gets distracted and he moves away from that particular track of becoming a doctor. So we need to check ourselves time and again. And how can we, you know, check ourselves time and again? Only by staying in the association of like-minded devotees, where they'll be able to, you know, push us or you know, can give us a material improvement program. So because we have a material improvement program, but the devotees will push us to a spiritual improvement program. So even if the things don't happen, if they don't happen as the world is actually changing, so the world beyond this world of change is actually Krishna, and he's unchangeable. So unchanging truths are the only constant source of meditation for the devotees. So that is why Krishna is saying transcend dualities by absorption in a reality higher than duality. So this world is inevitable and a place of duality, something that we can't avoid, just as a boat can't avoid being moved up and down the waves, but we can avoid being being affected by that duality. If we let ourselves stay in that, you know, fixed in a higher reality, then that duality and not being affected, of course, doesn't mean that we neglect that duality, but that we don't get sucked in by it. So, for example, a vehicle going on the road is affected by the undulations of the earth's surface. But a plane flying above the earth is not affected. The difference is not that the undulations don't exist or they can be neglected, but they don't create the same kind of problems for both. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the fifth chapter, 20th shloka. Na prarisheta priyam prapyam, na dvijet prapyam cha priyama, stira buddhi asamuddho, brahma vid brahmani stitah. He says that that person who does not feel happy upon achieving something pleasant, or he does not lament upon gaining something that is unpleasant, and who is a very self-intelligent person. So a self-intelligent person is sthira buddhi. Okay. So he says that, and who is unbewildered, asamudha, and who knows the science of God, that is, he's called a Brahmavit, who's perfectly knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is already situated in trance. Brahmani stitaha. He is already situated in trance. So this Bhagavad Gita, it is indicating, this shloka is indicating that staying fixed in pleasures and pains will be characterized by how much we are situated in spiritual reality. So Gita is actually unfolding that spiritual reality in its highest manifestation, where Krishna is to be revealed. So when we learn to love Krishna, then that higher fulfillment or this higher spiritual fulfillment that comes by that inner connection with him, it raises us far above the effects of a much smaller pleasure and pain, you know, that is caused by some worldly ups and downs. So when we are connected to the higher realm, then anything of this material world does not affect us. So if we are rightly situated in Krishna consciousness, so we know that, okay, if somebody is just, you know, giving us some, allegations, or somebody is just talking, he's not harming my body. Ultimately, I'm the soul. So of course, a situation isn't entirely like that of a plane which is high above the ground, because no matter how devotionally advanced we become, we still have to stay in our material bodies, and that still we have material needs also. But the more we realize our spiritual identity as a soul, the more we see life in its like broader term and its bigness, then the less we are affected by these, you know, life's material side. So the key is actually to transcend this duality. So if you see, when you know, when you have this so when you have emotions, okay, you are happy, you cry, but when you spiritualize these emotions, these spiritualization of emotions, they rise us from duality to equanimity and to ecstasy. So you know, where Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Sochati Na Kanchati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. So he's saying that anybody who is transcendentally situated and who has realized the Supreme Brahman, then he never, you know, he does not desire anything. He does not have anything for lamentation. He's you know, equally disposed in happiness and distress. And in that state only, he will attain pure devotional service to me. So again and again, if you see, the Bhagavad Gita is urging us to view worldly dualities with equanimity.
Mm.
So why is the Bhagavad Gita actually telling us this? Because our emotional attachments for these worldly things, they are binding us. And when our emotions are, you know, threatened towards these worldly things, our consciousness states, you know, reverted to this material level. So to break free, we need to cultivate equanimity towards the things that trigger our emotions. So we know that, for example, let's take an example that somebody is angry on me. But if I am actually calm, then that person might speak for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. He'll calm down and he'll go away, right? Somebody's mic is on and it's disturbing me. Okay, I've just muted. Fine. So we will know that, okay, I just have to keep quiet. And, you know, you just break free. And we need to cultivate this, you know, to so that, you know, our material emotions don't get triggered. And we are situated into our spiritual. So the more we cultivate equanimity, the more we will see material things without getting overwhelmed by those fantasies of pleasure or the nightmares of misery. Sometimes we anticipate also, oh, what will happen this. But no, we have to be calm and quiet. We should know that Krishna is in control of my life. I am not in control of my life. And I bow down to his plans. So it will help us actually to focus our consciousness beyond matter. And it will help us to place ourselves at the doorstep to transcendence. So that is why Gita is again urging us to rise from this duality. Of course, this is not a Gita class, it's a Bhagavatam class. But, you know, the whole topic, that the whole section is about duality. And that's why if you see in the Bhagavad Gita, where again, you know, he's saying that, Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kamaha dvandera vimukta sukha dukkha samagner gacchanti amudha padam avyayam tat. So he's saying that nirmana, without false prestige, moha, illusion, and then saying sanga dosha. So what association you have, uska dosh lagega aapko. That will be the, you know, that association or that fault is of that association. So if we are in bad association, then you need to come out of that bad association. And then he's saying adhyatma, in spiritual knowledge, then nitya, eternity. And anybody who is free from this kama, dvanda, duality, vinukta, he is a person who is vimukta, liberated from sukha dukkha, happiness and distress, and one who is unbewildered, he will know how to surrender to the Supreme Lord, and he will know how to return back home, back to Godhead. So you know, that vinivritta, vritta means actually our vritti. When you say vritti, means an inclination. So nivritti means going against our inclinations. Somebody might have an inclination of, seeing some movies, seeing some wrong movies. But then what we have to do, we have to go against that inclination. Somebody is too addicted to, YouTube. So that is, now become my inclination. So you have two parts. You have the pravritti marg and the nivritti marg, which is attachment and detachment. And, either with karma kanda and, karma sannyas, you can say. It is giving up the activity and practicing jnana yoga or engaging in this path of transcendence. So the word nivritti is many times used as, retirement. Nivrit ho gaye hum log, they say in Hindi. We have just, finished off with our duties. So vinivritti kama, it is actually vinivritti kama means it is referring to detachment from sensual enjoyment. And why vinivritta kama? Because the desire for sensual enjoyment is only binding the soul. So when you say prakriti etohi bhunkte prakriti jana gunaha. So a person, when he starts watching all these emotions in a movie, started, and then he either cries or either he has fear or either is anger. But if on a longer watch of this movie, he watches, emotions will not come on him. Because if he has that longing to desire to enjoy material things or the material existence, then so many emotions will overwhelm him. So what we have to do is we have to give up our entanglement for this material desire and we have to become detached. Dvandir vimukta sukha dukkha samagneer. Samagneer. So dvandir vimukta means if somebody becomes detached from these dualities, then what will happen? Sukha dukkha samagneer. One remains equipoised even in happiness and distress. So, and who can do this? Gacchanti amudha padam avyayam tat. Such a person is amudha. Such a person is unbewildered. He's not bewildered. So that person is very much situated and he's not caught up in this material, world or material energy. So many times this material energy, it makes us mudha. Mudha means, ignorant. But one who is situated in this consciousness is a mudha, or that person is padam avyayam tat. That person will always attain eternal destination. Padam means, destination, avyayam. So he will attain what? He will attain the abode of Krishna. So this particular, so, and he's saying that what is the nature of that abode? He's saying that the nature of that abode is, it is avyakta akshara iti uktas tam ahu paramam gatim. So that destination, that supreme destination, param gatim, that supreme destination is imperishable. That supreme abode can be attained only when a person surrenders to the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada, many times is explaining us the surrendering process. So that the first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride, or nirmana he should be. And why nirmana? Because one recognizes that, okay, I'm being kicked by this material nature. Material nature is making me dance like a puppet. I'm thinking that I can do this, but actually, I'm just so fragile. I'm so powerless, but I'm just made to, leave, or I'm just made to toss in these waves of this material nature. So I have to go beyond these waves of material nature. And that happens only when I get anchored that I am beyond the reach of these waves, and that anchor is the Supreme Lord. So we need to be strong enough to admit that we are not strong enough. Many people feel that, okay, being strong means, you know, never admitting any weaknesses. No, we should in front of the Supreme Lord admit our weaknesses. We can put a mask of peacefulness, but until unless some shelter is taken within that mask, we cannot stay for a long. That mask will fall off in the adversity of this world. So for a conditioned soul to admit that, you know, I am very weak is very difficult. But the devotee has self-confidence in that form that they have confidence on Krishna. And because they have taken shelter of Krishna, they are confident. So, to be a tool in the hand of Krishna and to do a certain work is not weakness. So, as long as, you know, I am, as long as one thinks I can do all, one cannot seek help of anyone. What to speak of Krishna's help of, humility is so important. So, here moha means things are mine. I am the proprietor of the things, the attachment that is there. And jitasanga dosha means modes create dualities. Those dualities become false, which bind us in the material existence. But a jitasanga dosha means one is free from that. And one stays always in spiritual consciousness and one stays free from vinivritta kamaha, free from lust. And when you say dvandir vimukta, one stays free from dvanda. Vimukta, mukta means liberated, he stays free from. So, Krishna, our connection is with, Krishna. And Krishna, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur also says that, Ami to tomara, tomi to amara, kiji kanar aparadane. I am yours, you are mine. So what other well do I want? So we have to harmonize things in the service of Krishna. A connection with Krishna is, our most important property. And then we become vinivritta kama, completely retired from this material existence. And nivritta is actually to retire. Vinivritta is totally retired, no chance of coming back. So this Vedic culture that is there, it's just doesn't encourage, being in duality. So, it will lead us to the supreme liberation. So I rest my speech over here. If somebody has any doubts, concerns.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for this very, very beautiful class. It was really, very overall, fully covered all the points and with us to Bhagavad Gita. Thank you, Mataji, for this very, very beautiful class. It was really very thought-provoking and a very clear explanation from the viewpoint of Bhagavad Gita also. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji.
So I generally take theme based. So what I do is when I read a shloka, I will catch a theme and I will elaborate on that theme. So when in this, if you see in this whole episode of Chitraketu, he's speaking about duality only, duality of, happiness and distress. And, of course, further, after a couple of shlokas, Lord Shiva will speak to Parvati. And because Chitraketu satisfied Shiva and Parvati, he boarded the airplane and he left and they smiled because he did laugh, but he did actually, he did it in the, as you know, if you see in the previous classes also, His Grace Kamalochan Prabhu had said that friends can laugh on each other. So, but he thought that if Mother Parvati is offended, let me just bow down because I am the child of Mother Parvati and I bow down and I accept with great humility, and he pleased her completely.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Very understandable, yes, Mataji.
I hope it's not gone, completely above, because maybe sometimes some shlokas might just go above. But the toto I can say is that we have to rise beyond these dualities, and we have to connect ourselves with the Supreme Lord. That's how we can transcend dualities. Yeah, somebody's hand is up.
Sukaka Krishna Prabhu, you can ask your question.
Yeah, Prabhu, you can ask your question.
Mataji, it was such a wonderful class, Krishna Rupa Mataji. It was so much. See, the Bhagavad Gita brought so much. And you showed us how to get out of the duality, to have the higher transcendental reality. And once we are totally into it, automatically the lower case will go off and we will never get attracted by. But in spite of all these things, there are sometimes we get stuck, you know. We have determined, we are doing everything. But maybe the past life or some impact, the mind is storing all those things and, you know, dog mentality. Prabhupada said dog mentality. So the devotees also, I think, have to be very, very careful. It is easy to read and, but karne mein bahut mushkil hai, we get stuck up.
Yes.
Because
yes,
what you told the whole thing, I was trying to see Adilila in the Chaitanya Charitamrita 7.81 to 7.94, 14 verses just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got initiated. He was telling Ishwarpuri that Nachite, I'm just gaite, shuite, I'm just singing and crying. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm becoming pagol. So Ishwarpuri said, that is right. You should just chant and cry. And then Ishwarpuri is telling that, Ishwarpuri is telling that this is because you are so much connected to Krishna. Krishna comes and you see him. Then you smile. Then suddenly he goes up. Then you cry. And then you run here and there. So this because it's on and off, Vipralamba Bhav is coming. So you don't worry, this will happen. But this we can only read. Apne ko to nahi hota hai. 30 years has happened and still not able to see Krishna or not able to, you know, smiling and all. Chanting is going on. So, you know, I know it cannot be wrong. The scriptures written is right. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord himself. So, isme thoda dar lagta hai, kab hone wala hai? When we are going to laugh and cry and, you know, go here and there running, unmat ho jana, becoming mad. And he said, they are not bewildered. The people who drink and become bewildered, they fall. But devotees, they get bewildered, but they know what they are doing. And so your points were really connected to that, to reach that stage.
Prabhu, also what I feel is now because we have spent sufficient enough of time in Krishna consciousness, we need to three things in a broader term also. Many times what we do is we fall into some petty things where we don't see a broader, we don't see in a broader sense also. And we just get stuck into those, you know, petty things. And because we are too attached, then, you know, that ego thing comes up. But if we just try, you have a big heart and you try to see in a very broader term, then at least these effects will be minimized. You don't aggravate them. You just, you know, minimize those. It is just like many times for a small verbal thing also, you be aggravate. But for example, if somebody said something to us and we just keep quiet, we don't aggravate it. He says two and then we say four and if we just keep quiet, we know, okay, fine, you know, let him say whatever he wants to say, that is his opinion. And you just keep quiet, the things will not pile up or will not increase or aggravate and things will, and we will be more peaceful. So for our peacefulness, to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we need to have that background. So for example, you know, mere ghar mein klesh hai. I have, you know, a lot of, a distress in my house. How is it possible that I read the Srimad Bhagavatam in a peaceful situation? So now for a higher purpose, if I want to read Srimad Bhagavatam, I have to learn to let go. I have to learn to let go things. Then I will be very peaceful in my house. And or, you know, in the society or in the community or wherever we are, you know, whether we are working, wherever we are, you know, like, so we have to learn to let go. And this is what I have realized, that when I have learned to let go in a very peaceful situation, I'm able to conduct my classes also. I'm able to study my personal thing. I'm able to rise early in the morning also, chant extra rounds also, just if I'm tolerating, I'm learning to let go. This is what I have realized over a period of many, of course, it took me also time to realize these things. It was not in the very spur of the moment. But yeah, over a period of years, when we mature as devotees, we also learn to let go many things. And when we learn to let go, there is the divine hand with us. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, in the 13th chapter, the 8th shloka, the first thing he is demanding from us is humility. Where tolerance power reaches 100%, humility starts from there. So when you learn to tolerate, automatically we'll become humble. We don't retaliate. We don't, you know, give back. So that, yes, I agree with you, Prabhu, that. And of course, what you're saying is, you know, seeing Krishna and all, it is just a matter of time. You assume that you are already in the spiritual world, but only time is separating you from Krishna.
Yes. That's Prabhupada.
Yes, yes. It's only time that is separating you from Krishna, right? Yeah, any more
questions? One more thing, Mataji, in this same context, that when we are, suppose somebody is agitating us, you know, we are just tolerating, hum gussa nahi dikhata hai toh, that means we are not making the anger to become life. I just made it to stop.
Yes,
not
yes.
I mean the Krishna made me to stop. I am just his servant. So as per the scriptures, I just kept quiet. So automatically, I think, phir wo haar jayega. Actually, the anger is trying to fight, make us to, the mind is making us to shout and get the gut out from the place and all. I think we should not make it to life. Lust, anger, greed, chup chap, sell any car, just tolerate.
Yeah. Thank you,
Prabhu. Thank you, Mataji.
There's a question in the chat box.
Yes,
Mataji, as you mentioned, there's a chat box. There's a question in the chat box. I'd just like to take that first. Mataji, as you mentioned, you should not be affected by the different feelings and emotions, but science also says there are some emotions which are connected to hormones. How do we connect this to a Krishna consciousness? And if hormones do affect our emotions, how do we keep that in check? So when you are chanting, all these hormones will also become cool and calm. The hormones will not, create a turmoil in your life. All the dopamine, the thyroid glands, the thyroid hormones, all these hormones, if you see, they start from here. Okay. And if this is in control, then all the hormones that are in line, they all will be controlled automatically by chanting the holy names of the Lord. And that's how we can keep the hormones in check. And of course, by eating Krishna Prasad, which is, you know, a very sattvic diet. Yeah, Bhagavati Vasudha Mataji.
There is one more question in the chat, Mataji. Let me read. By Lalita Mataji and Dinabandhu Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. What a wonderful class. And what an example of being focused in Krishna consciousness. Okay, it's just a comment, Mataji.
Yeah, that's a comment that I just read. So yeah, Prabhu, yes, thank you so much for accepting whatever little I knew with my little knowledge. Thank you for
one hand raised, Mataji. If you have time, yeah. We'll take
your... Yes, Mataji. Hemi Mataji.
Hemi Mataji, please. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. What a beautiful class, very, very practical. Mataji, in sort of continuation of the question which was just being discussed, these dualities in workplace, the tolerance, I understand, but sometimes it is, if we are tolerating, we're not making our point in certain situations when we I mean, in my mind, we should, but how to walk away from, at workplace especially, is I find that very challenging. Is there any tips you can give to not get engaged in, any kind of, this duality or, argument, not argument, but a debate, I would say. I mean, make your point and then walk away without getting agitated.
So let me ask you first question, that how many rounds do you chant and go to the office?
Mataji, I do chant 16 rounds through the day, but I try to chant 8 to 10 before I go.
Yeah. So chant 16 rounds and then move out of the house. What happens is, like, for example, you have a mobile and you just have 50% charged and you move out of the house and the battery drains off. So the 16 rounds that we chant is like a kavach or a shield a protective shield for us. So whatever anybody will tell us, it will not affect us. Or we will not be affected by somebody else's duality. So when we chant 16 rounds and move from our house, this is what I have experienced in my IT career. That, of course, you know, we did have our, you know, superiors also. And I just asked once, you know, one of my, you know, mentors, he said, chant 16 rounds and move, nothing will happen in life. And from that day to this day, okay, me and my sister, we never move out of the house, you know, before chanting 16 rounds. 16 rounds chanting is a shield for us where people will not attack us also. And we'll not be, you know, we'll not even be disturbed by anybody's, you know, statements, whatever they are making. So try this out and you will see. You will see a drastic change within 1 week of your life. And this is my guarantee to you, Mataji. You might think that, oh, you know, he's telling me something fanatic or something just like that. But try this out. And most of them have tried this out and they've been successful. All, at least we IT people have been successful after chanting 16 rounds and then only moving out of this. Not even that I'm sitting in my car and chanting. No, when I'm sitting in my car and I'm actually going to my office, then that time I'm doing Shravanam. I'm hearing lecture of Srila Prabhupada or of my own spiritual master. But sitting in the house in one place, in one go, chanting 16 rounds, that is the only solution to this particular thing in the office or anywhere outside of your house. Okay, Mataji, we can try it out. And you can message me personally that how... You know, things are going on. I can put down my, you know, personal number also on this chat. If any of the women have any, a problem which y'all cannot discuss with men, I'm more than happy to assist y'all in your Krishna consciousness. You are not able to understand a particular shloka, you are not able to understand a particular class or maybe some clarification. And they put my Indian number on the chat box.
Thank you, Mataji. That's a great tip. I will try. Thank you. That was for now.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji, for this very, very beautiful class. And it was many times we have heard that how the 16th round is our kavacha. But practically you have executed it and you have seen in your life. That makes gives us more and more hope and confidence. Yes, many times it happens. Like if the morning chanting is not done, somehow we will dash somewhere. So yes, Mataji, thank you so much. That really helps. That is the only thing keeping at least not going down. Even if it is not progressing, we are not progressing. We should not go down. So for that, this is the only way. Thank you.
Because on what basis also will Krishna protect us? So we need to have some basis. So on that basis, Krishna will definitely protect us.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Wonderful, wonderful point. If there are no questions, we can end here. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha.
Kripeksha Krupa Sindhupriya Vacha. Vachita Anapava Nepyo. Vaishnavya Vyo Namo Namaha.
Koti Vaishnavya
Vrindika. Jai.
Jai. Jai.
Jai.
Jai.
Jai.
Jai.
Jai.
Jai.
Jai. Jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai.